neshama gets upset. Okay, so the neshama is upset. The person really, what he needs is tshuva. Okay, so he goes, he doesn't want to make tshuva. Why? Because he wants to go to the beach or wants to watch the ball game on Shabbos. Okay, so he's deciding what he wants to do, then decides truth. First we decide what truth is, and then decide our actions according to truth. Okay, so the person says, better make a tshuva, go to the shrink. And the shrink says, you know, he looks at this person, and this person's nervous, so he gives him a pill to calm down. Now why is the person nervous? Because the neshama is making an alarm. The neshama says something not right here. And all the Zoloft and all the pills, they just turn off the neshama. So that the body won't hear what the neshama is trying to broadcast. The neshama is saying, come back to Hashem, you come back to Hashem, you're going to feel great. Learn Torah, do the mitzvahs. This is what Hashem designed. Hashem is the designer. He's the chief engineer of the body and the neshama. And he wrote the owner's manual. And when you do what is written in the owner's manual, then you get the full warranty. The 5-year, 50,000-mile. Here, 120 year, 120 million mile, guaranteed. And you do it. That's what a person does when he... Now, as far as worry, Hashem did not build us and did not design us to worry. There is no mitzvah in the Torah to worry. You don't, look, we'll go the whole list of Lamach HaSed, 248 positive mitzvahs, and the 365 negative mitzvahs. There is no mitzvah in the Torah to worry. So why do we worry? Okay. We are now going to learn three simple facts that he teaches not to worry. Okay. The David HaMelech, he teaches us in Tehillim. If anybody disagrees with me, you tell me. Work it out. Okay. Fact number one. David HaMelech says about Hashem, Elyon al kol ha'aretz, supreme on the whole universe. Okay. Do we all agree that Hashem runs the world? Everybody agree to that? Okay, we're all in agreement? Okay, I'll go to point two. David HaMelech says, Ker Rachum Mechanim. Hashem is pit, he's merciful and compassionate. Everybody agree on that? Anybody got an argument? They didn't tell me. Hashem is merciful and compassionate. Everybody agree? Okay, good. The third that David HaMelech says in Ashrei, he says, Toiv Hashem Lakol. What does he mean, Toiv Hashem Lakol? Hashem is good to everyone. Now, if Hashem is good, we all know the story about the Baal Shem Tov. It's a mitzvah, Motzei Shabbos, to mention the Baal Shem Tov. Just by mentioning the Baal Shem Tov, everybody have good parnasa. But we all know that the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, they couldn't realize the union of divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, what it means. So the Baal Shem Tov told them, pick something in nature and I'll show you how every little thing in nature has divine providence. So it was October in the Ukraine, and the leaves were falling off the tree, and they followed a leaf that fell off the tree. They said, well, you know, what purpose in creation did a dry leaf serve? Baal Shem Tov, you'll see. So they followed a leaf. He said, pick a leaf and follow it. They followed a leaf on a tree and came a wind and blew the leaf off the tree, and the leaf got blown from the forest into the meadow, and it came to land on a distressed worm that was out in the meadow. Because the sun came out from behind the clouds, and a worm is an invertebrate. And invertebrates can't be in the sun for a long time because they get dried out. Any creation that doesn't have a backbone, they get dried out. So this leaf came right on top of the worm to protect the worm. And the Talmud in it, mind-boggling, gewaltig, mind-boggling, how every little leaf in creation, and this Hashem turns a whole big thing, sends a wind and a leaf to send that leaf to protect the worm. So if this is the Hashgacha Pratis, if this is the divine providence over a worm, I ask you, what is the divine providence over a Jewish family? What is the divine providence of a Jewish mother when she goes into the hospital to have a Jewish baby? That there's no bigger simcha in the world today after the Holocaust. And this is the Karlina Rebbe told me. He heard it from the Rachman Scripture Rebbe that blessed him when he had his 10th child. He said, there is no bigger simcha in Shemayim than when a Jewish child is born to a Torah observant home. Baruch Hashem, that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so you have a Jewish mother that's raising a child. If all the mothers knew the love and the divine providence that Hashem has on them, on every little word they tell the kids, on every little thing, they couldn't get nothing done because they'd be jumping for joy. They'd be dancing all day long. All day long be dancing. A Jewish man, when you go to work, and you're doing your work, and you're really not thinking about your work, you're doing your work because you're thinking about your Torah lesson, your chavrusa, that you're coming back after work, you got mincha, and you got an hour and a half chavrusa, learning Gemara, and then Maariv. Can't believe that here's a guy working as an accountant in New Jersey, and he's plugging away all day long, and his whole aspiration is to get to evening in the basement or to learn Tucker. It's unbelievable. Then you got guys burned in koilo all day long. And Bani Shalom doesn't have the satisfaction he has in this guy. Who's keeping himself. And Baal Teshuva, you can't begin to imagine. Can't begin to imagine Baal Teshuva. What happens to Baal Teshuva? How does the king feel when he has a son that has been captive for 20, 25, 30 years and then the son comes home to the castle? There's festivals every day in the castle. And the king, this is, makes happy, the king happier. So, I don't want to get off track. But if we can imagine the divine providence, the Hashgacha Pradesh on a worm, or on a dry leaf, imagine for a moment, begin to imagine, the divine providence on a Jew, the divine providence on a Torah observant Jew, the divine providence on a Baal Teshuva. Now, why do you think that Chazal in the Gemara in Sanhedrin said, "B'makon shebalei tshuva oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim oimdim"? That in a place where balei tshuva stand, perfect tzadikim. You know what perfect tzadik is? Perfect tzadik is the Baal HaTanya, the Noam Elimelech, Reb Nachman of Breslev. This is what perfect tzadikim. What? You talk about people in this room that the Noam Elimelech would say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. People don't believe it. But that's a problem. If the Chazal said it, it is true. Believe it. And now you can imagine why. You can imagine why, because of what we're talking about. So if we said the divine providence on a worm, Tov Hashem Makol, Hashem does what's good for everyone, you can better believe that Hashem does what's good for everyone in this room. So let's review the three principles and tie them all together. Number one, Hashem rules the world. Number two, Hashem is merciful and compassionate. Number three, Hashem does what's good for everyone. So if something happens to me, seemingly bad, okay, before I get stressed out, before I worry, let me run down my checklist. Like a pilot, before he's taking off, he runs down his checklist. Right, rudder. Left rudder, stabilizers. Okay. I run down my checklist. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Ay. Wow. It's surprises, surprises. So we run down the checklist. And I said, wait a second. Hashem runs the world. Nothing can happen without getting the king's signature. The king sanctions what's happening to me right now. And Hashem is merciful. Okay. So by this happening to me, this is Hashem's merciful. And Hashem is doing what's best. Personally, Hashgacha Pratis, my own private divine providence. Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis on me, divine providence. It's the best for me. And as soon as you run down that checklist, there's no more worry. Because you hear, your stocks went down. You lost some money. Okay, you lost some money. Let's put it to practice, okay? Somebody lost some money. Even worse, had last week. I get a guy, writes me from the States, frantic completely, and he starts, "Sir Blazer, you gotta give me your phone number, I gotta call you, this and that, I've just been fired from my job."
I got 4 kids, I got a mortgage on a house, the whole deal. Everybody appreciated it. Now that's a big red light. That's a flashing red light. I get an email like that, and drop everything. Okay, you gotta bail this guy out. So I told him, tell me about your job. Told me about a job. Guy's in high tech, very competitive, this and that. And he's kind of plateaued up. And he was all worried. He got fired. Let me tell you something. I'll make the story short. 48 hours after he got fired, he got a job with another $8,000 more a year and a lot better future. He couldn't even dream of it. Couldn't even dream of it. So at the time he got the axe, he said, Hashem could be so cruel. No. Hashem is setting him up for something better. Now the fact that we don't see what Hashem is doing, that doesn't mean anything else. We don't have the entire computer printout. Okay. When a little soldier is fighting down the battlefield, he says, what, the general sent me to the right? I see the enemy to the left. No, but you're down in the field. The general is way up on the hill, and the general has satellites, and he's got all kinds of observers all over the place, and he's making decisions. He sees the whole thing. You don't see anything. You're inside your little tank. You have your job to do. So we're the soldiers doing our job down here, and Hashem, he sees the whole picture. We don't have the picture. We don't know. And I took a lot of flack. With Gush Katif. Gush Katif. It's all for the best. I had one Kabbalist tell me. One come in and he showed me a book. I had a book where the After Rav says that when people of Eretz Yisrael get kicked out of border villages in Eretz Yisrael, that is the start of the Gula. Amen. We're waiting for it. But even though we don't know, let's say it's not even, even though we're already fast on the fast track to full redemption of our people, Meretz Hashem, Amen, King of Son. I think it's only a matter, I believe, of minutes, every minute. And if it's Motzei Shabbos, okay guys, everybody, let's leave Passaic and we're getting on back on the jet, we're going back to Eretz Yisrael. Because Mashiach is here. But it's all for the best. And even so, we see things we don't understand. The world is going completely crazy. Here you've got one of the biggest tzaddikim in Israel, Rav Kaduri, that Hashem should give him a full Yitzchak ben Tfacha.
Amen.
And he's lying in a coma. And then we have Arik, Lahavdil, Elef Alfei Avdalot, and he's lying in a coma. A person really has to have an ear, nose, and throat specialist if you can't smell the gula. Because everything's coming down. It's all for the best. And the fact that we don't understand, it still means that we have to begin. And people said to me, the Ger Rebbe's son, and I mentioned the Ger Rebbe sad last Seder Pesach, that he feels that Mashiach is going to come this year, and if not this year, then next year. Next year, this is 5766. And people having a big field day, ha ha ha, Mashiach didn't come. Doesn't matter. That takes away from what the Ger Rebbe said. I'm sure that the Ger Rebbe smelled Mashiach. He felt Mashiach. He's not lying to anybody. The Ger Rebbe, everything that the Ger Rebbe said, it just it came true. Okay, so maybe we haven't deserved it. But Mashiach should come. That does not affect our belief every single day, every single minute to wait for Mashiach. Hashem is doing what's absolutely best for all of us. Even though we don't understand, that doesn't alter. So even anything that happens to us, anything, Hashem runs the world. And Hashem is merciful. And Hashem is doing what's best for us. Okay, now I invite anybody, we're going to leave time for questions also. I don't know how long you've been speaking. I have no idea. Okay. We're going to leave time for questions, and so I'm going to maybe speak another 10, 15 minutes, then we're going to have questions. But I invite now anybody to yell out and tell me that in light of these three principles, and don't be embarrassed, please, feel free. You know, we're brothers and sisters, we're family. We're all talking. Kol Yisrael Chaverim. You know, and especially most Ashkenazi Jews, they don't have to go back more than 7, 8 generations till you find a common grandparent. No problem, really. And if a Sephardi Jew, you go back 13, 14 generations and you got a common grandparent. because a lot of the Gerush Sfarad, they went to Poland, went to Russia. And some the ones that didn't go to Morocco or go to the East. Okay. So with these three principles, and if we come out, there's one thing that I want everyone to come out, that this should be engraved on their heart. By the way, you know what the biggest distance in the world is? Now it's in your head. The biggest distance in the world is the distance between the brain and the heart. Internalizing something that we know, so we feel it in the heart, that's a long way to go. Okay, so now that we've injected these three principles in the head, and we'll wait to internalize them in the heart, and I hope it's quick. So let's do it again. That Hashem, principle number one, Hashem runs the world. Principle number two, you should have a lot of nachas. Okay? And your baby, so your baby, you'll hear this, and this will be carved on its neshama. It'll go up. Mirz Hashem, your baby will be a big balad bitochen.
Amen.
So principle number one, Hashem runs the world. Principle number two, Hashem is kind and merciful. Principle number three, Hashem does what's good for each and every one of us. Knowing these three principles, now I will challenge anybody to give me a situation in light of these three principles where they still have to worry. Please, don't be embarrassed. Anybody such? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Great, great, great question. Superb. Okay, so we're going to neutralize that too. You know how you do that? Hashem is right there in your kitchen, or in your office, or in your classroom, wherever you're doing, and you worry about making the right decision, and teaching your kids, it's a derice, it's a big mitzvah, a shenantam, and it's a big difference, boy. The more a Jewish mother is involved in the education of her kids, the better those kids are. So when you're worried about making the right decision, that's a little bit different type of worry. It's different between worry between right decision and worry about where your next meal is coming from. Okay. But all you have to do is say, Hashem, I don't know whether to do A or B with my child. Alright. So if you have your Rav, your spiritual guide, somebody can ask the question. If you don't, and you have to go it on your own, all you have to do, Hashem, I don't have the capability to make this decision. I don't know what to do, so I'm throwing you the file. You take care of it. Okay? And then you will see, as soon as you completely put your trust into Hashem, you will light up your neshama, and you'll know exactly what to do. It never, ever fails. It never, ever, ever fails. And I saw this. This was the first lesson there. The hair arm stand. This is the first lesson I learned as a Baal Teshuva. The first lesson, when Hashem showed me, okay, first time you got to know something, Brody. You've got a big neshama, but you're gornish. Nothing. You can't do a thing. And I was in a situation where I was completely boxed in. And like I said, life expectancy, 90 seconds. In the middle of Beirut, trapped in a crossfire with a dead body in the street and a wounded body on my back. And I got a mission to do that's unbelievable pressure on my brain. And I can't, Hashem, what do I do? Nothing. You take care of it. And that's when the whole sky opened up. One miracle after another miracle. And so when you have a question about what to do with your children, okay, give it to Hashem. He'll light up, and he try me on that.